Thank you, brother. Good morning, church. Glad to have you here at Briggs Chapel today. Something that I would like to be able to do on a more regular basis is open our service up just with a Bible reading out of the Psalms. So I'm going to read Psalm 139 this morning, Psalm 139. So if you just listen and listen to these great and precious words that we have in the revelation of God's Word. Psalm 139 says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me from behind and before and laid your hand upon me, for such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand. And when I wake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do not I loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Psalm 139. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this revelation that you have given us, to know today that your thoughts toward us outnumber the sand along the seashore, and that there's not a place anywhere that we could ever be hidden from your sight. Darkness cannot hide us. Death cannot hide us. Nothing can keep us from what you see and what you know. And we were wrought in the belly of the womb by your divine design. And I pray today in this service, in this day, that we would glorify you in it. So we praise you and thank you for such truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glory be. How many of y'all have found a faithful friend in Jesus?
Amen.
What a friend we have in Him. Amen. Thank you, Brother Scott, for helping us today. Thank you, Brother Greg and Miss Pat, for helping us celebrate in song before our King. All right. Well, look, if y'all would today, if y'all would take the revelation you have that you brought with you, if you look in the pew, there's probably some red Bibles near you, by you. You can turn to the Older Testament book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. Daniel chapter number 1. Today we have come to just to celebrate and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's doing in our lives. Amen. I talked with Brother Martin, and he just wanted to make his wishes known, as well as Joanne's, that they would not have a funeral service. So today is not a funeral service. We are here to celebrate, get in the Word, to sing, and see what God's going to do for us. We're going to have a fellowship afterwards in honor of Joanne and your family. And we want to welcome each of you to come and break bread with us as well. And I just want to let each of you know that you are loved and prayed for and loved by this church family, your family. And we just thank Jesus that we have hope in this old world, that we stumble across problems from day to day and week to week and year to year. We can't help but celebrate Him. Amen?
Amen.
Now, what we do here at Briggs Chapel is that we have a daily reading plan that we walk through as we walk through the Scriptures. And we do this from month to month. It shifts. It changes. We just take one Bible book at a time, and we walk through that book one day at a time in our daily reading. So we're in the book of Daniel right now. And Daniel chapter 3 is where we're up to in our daily reading. Now, we just came out of last month. We spent right at 2.5 months walking through the book of Jeremiah. And you really can't grasp Daniel without having a decent understanding of the book of Jeremiah, for which God had prophesied through him of what he was going to do with his people when he brought them into Babylon for a particular period of time, 70 years to be exact. And this was all part of God's sovereign work and plan. And God had a plan to do something. Now, you don't have to go and look at it. I just give you a little reference. If you write notes in your Bible or anything like that, you can jot this down in Daniel. But Daniel chapter 24, Daniel chapter 29, excuse me, Jeremiah 24 and Jeremiah chapter number 29, you will find God's vision of what He was going to do. Because of a waywardness in the nation of Israel and Judah, because they had taken the advice of all the contenders for the glory of God in this world. How many of y'all know there are contenders that battle for God's glory in your life every day?
Amen.
Including yourself. Matter of fact, you're one of the chief enemies to the glory of God in your own life. Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king of Babylon at the time, God had raised him up. Jeremiah chapter 25 tells us that God gave Nebuchadnezzar power and authority to overrule and overthrow, and all the nations of the world would come under his leadership. God gave it to him.
Amen.
And God says he's done that throughout history. He can give the world or an area. He can give the beast of the field and of the land and all its people, Scott. He can give them to whomever he chooses,
right,
whenever he wants. Now, what God's doing today is that he's given us to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we don't fall under his covering, under his life, under his blood. We're operating in another world that is walking with the contenders to the glory of God.
Amen.
And what Nebuchadnezzar is a picture of is one who contends for God's glory. The New Testament would refer to him like this. Have you ever heard this term before? Antichrist. Y'all ever heard that term?
No.
Antichrist means somebody who opposes Christ and stands or attempts to stand in the place of Him. And if we're not yielded over to the Lord Jesus, we're yielding to something.
Amen.
If Jesus is not has complete authority and reign over our life, we're giving that authority to somebody else. Because there are many antichrists in the world. There's always been antichrists. And what does an antichrist do? They contend with God's place in your life, and they try to replace that. And I would imagine among us today, there are people who have given themselves over to these contenders that are active in your life right now that you yielding yourself over to, but you're not living for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, today I pray the Lord will help us and show us a few things and help us see His plan, what He was doing with them, what He's doing with us right now, and how nothing in this world, no matter how difficult, no matter how devastating, no matter what it is, nothing in this world can stand against nor take the place of Jesus and His wisdom and His grace and His truth and His love in our life. Legitimately, are you with me? Nothing can replace that. So no matter how difficult your situation is right now, how many of you are walking through some hard times right now? Amen. How many of you are going through some difficult things? How many of you have got some very difficult challenges that are going on in your life right now today? Yeah. I imagine most of us in here have some very difficult challenges. Martin has a difficult challenge today and the days ahead. There's no doubt about that. And these challenges are going to come up against you. No matter how difficult, no matter how challenging it is, even death, which is going to want to contend in your life for that rightful place that Jesus to have in it, it'll want to contend for it. We just got to recognize it's trying to fight for you and who fought for you at Calvary, and that you don't have to fight for this victory, you fight from the victory that Jesus already won for you. Amen?
Amen?
And you trust and follow Him. So in Daniel chapter 1, it gives us a reference to a time frame, a year. He says this, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, that would be the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and he besieged it. He put a siege on it. And the Lord gave the king, Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. He also gave to Nebuchadnezzar some of the articles of the house of God, which was carried into the land of Shinar, that's where Nebuchadnezzar's land in Babylon was at, to the house of his God, and he brought the articles into the treasurers of the house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. He said they were to be young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking. They were to be gifted in the ability of attaining the wisdom. They had to possess a certain ability with knowledge. And they had to have the capacity to quickly understand things, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the language and the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them daily provisions of the king's delicacies and of wine, which he drank, and 3 years of training for each of them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. And there was these four boys that the Bible is going to highlight for us who was part of that. Now, let me share with you just some background on this and what took place. In this third year of Jehoiakim's reign, Nebuchadnezzar comes in. This happened in 605 B.C. In 605 B.C., they took a group of young boys, these bright, very capable young men who they knew they could shape and mold and conform. They wanted to shape them. They gave them all new names. The Bible talks about, if I was to mention the name Shadrach, Meshach, and... Now, if I was to ask you what their first names were, could you tell me? No, but Daniel mentions them. He tells us what their names are. If we'd have kept reading, we would have noticed that. Now, why does Nebuchadnezzar change these boys' names? It's the beginning phases of what? Indoctrinating them to their thinking. Indoctrinating them to their ways of life. indoctrinating them to their literature and their history and their ways so that they could be familiar with the language, familiar with the ways of this king and these people. So they began to teach them and indoctrinate them by first changing their names. And we live in a world today that... Any of y'all got some nicknames in here that y'all don't mind telling everybody? Toot-toot. Yeah. Toot-toot. Old Greg Briggs, they call him Toot-toot. Brittany calls him Toot-toot. Miss Johnetta, you got a nickname? Granny. Everybody calls her Granny. You see, nicknames go along with us by people who are surrounding us and things they know about us. How many pawpaws we got in here? Got a couple of pawpaws. They call you pawpaw? How many... grandmas or momaw. What's some other names y'all go by?
Nanny.
Nana. What else? Gran. Lily. Got a honey up here.
Hey you.
Say what?
Hey you.
Hey you. Oh, Mr. Buddy. He's going to get it out, ain't he? Buddy. Nickname, huh? Buddy. Nicknames. We give people nicknames by things they displayed before us, or their profession or their position within a company, within a society, within a family, whatever it may be. But it's something that we help shape people with. Stephanie and here, my bride, we've been married for how long now? 33 years? Been together for a little bit longer than that. How many nicknames you have? All this depends on the occasion, right? Nicknames. Well, it's a way of shaping a mindset that we give people nicknames for whatever it is. When I was growing up, people called me back home. If you say, I know Nick Holden, they're going to question who Nick Holden is, because nobody back home knows me as Nick Holden. They know me as Nicky Holden. They'll call me names like Tricky Nicky. Because before Jesus got a hold of me, Landon, I was a... I'm not going to go there. But those types of things, it's the same kind of principle that goes along with it. These name changes for a purpose. Well, this was all providential of the work of God. Daniel and his compadres found themselves in an unforeseen place in life. I do not anticipate they knew they would be there in advance. Matter of fact, this caught the entire nation off guard. They never in a million years would have thought that God would allow a foreign enemy to come in, displace their people, take and burn down their walls, destroy their temple, and ravage their land over a period of time. They would have never thought that would have happened. Even though the prophets continued to foretell these days were coming, and they pleaded with God's people to get their hearts right with the Lord and not to forsake the living fountain of a living God who was to be the king over their life. But they kept what? Yielding to all the anti-God, all the anti-Christ, all the contenders out there, and they gave themselves over to them, Brother Shannon. And as a result, over an extended period of time, prophet after prophet after prophet, Jeremiah is just the last prophet that comes on the scene. And God says, Jeremiah, I'm going to destroy this place and I'm going to destroy all the people, with the exception of a group of people that God referred to, a remnant, that He was going to take out of Jerusalem and He was going to bring them into Babylon. And He referred to them in Jeremiah 24 like this. He says, they're like a basket of figs. Jeremiah saw a vision by God, and in one basket, Scott, there was ripe, edible, really, really good figs. And then there was another basket that was rotten, very bad fig. Old King James says, very naughty figs. They were bad figs. Well, the figs that left the land were the right good ones. But I would imagine the people in that day didn't foresee that those that got displaced out of Jerusalem, bought into Babylon, they thought they was the ones in good shape that were left behind. They would have never thought they were the ones who was in bad shape. The ones that got pulled out and went under the control of Nebuchadnezzar is the one that was in bad shape. But God gave a word to Jeremiah and said, no. The ones that I pulled out first in this first siege that Daniel's talking about here, those first group were the right, good, edible ones. The ones that God was going to do something with, and He was going to keep His family together through them because of why? God had an ultimate plan at work. The Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He was going to keep. And through that is what He kept alive, where Jeremiah 29 talks about. Everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. What does God say? I got a what? I got plans for you, future for you, hope for you. But that's talking about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and that first group of people that were taken out of Jerusalem. Now the rest of them that were left behind, it didn't fare out well for them. Just like if the Lord Jesus was to come today, those He takes would be in the best shape and possible they could ever be. Amen? I want to tell you, as hard as it is on us, we celebrate because Joanne's better off today than she's ever been before. Amen? It was those that were left behind and will be left behind if, say, Jesus was to come today who are going to be in bad shape. And Jesus is only coming for those who are looking for His coming. Amen?
Amen.
Who are living in that light looking for Him. But go over to Jeremiah 29. Hold your spot there. Jeremiah 29. And I want you to see something because I think this would be important for us to pick up on today. Jeremiah 29:1. How many of y'all believe God's Word is His Word?
Amen.
How many believe you can trust it with your life?
Amen.
You could build your entire life upon it. Amen? Upon having a relationship with Jesus and everything Jesus teaches from there. Now watch the wording of this, and I just want to just give a little tip for you in the days ahead. He says in verse number 1, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the remnant or the remainder of the elders who were carried away captive to be the priest, to the priests, the prophets, and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem." So that would include Daniel. There was another prophet that was in that number as well. His name was Ezekiel. Anybody heard that name before? He was over in Babylon as well. But notice these words. Verse 1. "Now these are the what? Words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet wrote." We don't have the original letter that Jeremiah wrote, but we've got the words that Jeremiah wrote in his original letter. We may not have original letters or copies of these letters that have been written and proclaimed by God's people throughout time, but we've got the words of those messages that stand before us today. And what was important is not the material that it was written on, but the words that it was contained in. Amen? So I want to tell you today, what you have before you is the living message of the Word of God, chronicled and written down that we can believe it, trust it, live on it, and celebrate it in this day that we live in today. Amen? So the words of the letter. Now, let's go on and look in what He tells the people over there, and let's see how we can apply it to us. He says in verse number 4, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all who were carried captive, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem to Babylon." What did He tell them to do? Verse 5. He told them to, number 1, start doing what? Build houses. Don't think you're going to be there for just a little while. Go ahead and start building houses. Dwell in them. Plant gardens. Eat their fruit. Take wives. Beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands that they may bear sons and daughters that you may be increased there and do not be diminished. Basically saying, go ahead and be what? Fruitful and multiply. Verse 7, and while you're there, seek the peace of that city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it, for in its peace, Babylon's peace, you will also have peace. Verse 8, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets, not my prophets, but your prophets and your diviners who are in your midst deceive you, nor listen to your dreams which you cause to be dreamed. That's them contenders that contend against what God's doing. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, says the Lord. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I, God, will visit you and perform my good word to you and cause you to return to this place, Jerusalem. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of what? Peace and not evil. To give you what? A future and a hope. It will be in that day when I do this, you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and you will listen to, I will listen to you, verse 13, and you will seek me and find me when you what? Search for me with all your heart. An unforeseen place, and in the midst of it, God sends them a faithful word that I know you never thought you'd be here, but you are now. And I've got a word for you to trust me, to walk with me, to keep living life in what I've given you to live. Keep celebrating in what I've given you to celebrate. For I have a plan for you in this far and unforeseen, unwanted place that I've sent you. Now, what would they have to do when they're there? Well, Daniel's going to tell us that Nebuchadnezzar kept trying to what? Pour all their information in these boys, all about their people, their lands, and all these things. And he set them up and tried to what? Pamper them with the best wines and the best foods and all these things. But what did Daniel do? What did Daniel do? The Bible tells us Daniel did something. He purposed in his heart, didn't he? Yeah. He purposed in his heart, though no matter what comes my way, no matter how difficult it may be, I'm not going to defile myself with these things that the king puts in my life. And you know what God did? God showed him favor, Martin. And God blessed them. And the favor that God showed these men, because they had committed themselves that they wasn't going to let anything in their life contend with the glory of God in their life. Now you got to keep in mind, this same group of people who used to live in Jerusalem, while they lived in Jerusalem, they didn't obey the mouth of the prophet. They didn't listen to what Jeremiah had to say. It was a divine work of God who put them in this unforeseen place that they would be in. And their hearts shifted because now God's done got involved in their life, because God's using them now in this tragedy to be a remnant of His, to display His glory before these Babylonians in this world that we live in. And in the midst of this tragedy, God shows up and does a mighty work where? In these boys' heart. Amen. And they make a commitment in an unforeseen place, in an unforeseen time in their life. They make a commitment to look to the God of this universe. And they were not going to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar or these contenders and let them infiltrate a place that only He should occupy in our hearts. Amen? Amen. You see, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come at us, Brother Scott, to oppose the message of God and then occupy that throne over our heart. But Daniel and them had committed, we are not going to yield to this king. And whether this king kills us, whether he does whatever he wants to, we're not bowing the knee to him at all. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar is going to have a dream, right? Yeah. And remember in that dream, what did he see? He saw a great statue. He saw himself in that. And that statue gives us a picture of history. And nobody could interpret that dream for him. But Daniel got a word from God, and Daniel came to him and said, I can't do this, but the God that I serve can tell you what this dream means. And he told him these words. He says, God is a God who sees what we can't see. God sees into the dark. I want to tell y'all in here today, I want to tell you, Martin, God saw Friday, long before Friday ever came here. God's seen this day long before this day. He sees tomorrow for which we can't see. You know what that means? God sees in the dark where we can't. He knows what He's still yet to do with you and your family and all of us here. He sees in the dark. And you know what? He also possesses light. And He can give wisdom to us when He sees fit, when He chooses. And you know, when Daniel bowed their knee to God, you know what God kept doing? He kept giving them wisdom to know what to do next. To know how to take and fight against these that were fighting against them. And they would not bow their knee to Him. Did that keep them from some trouble? No. Daniel had to go through what? A lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had to go through the what? The fiery furnace. You know what? But because of the favor and their faithfulness before the Lord, the Bible says the fire had no power over them. Just like through all this, you're going to grieve, you're going to be hurt, there's going to be some times that's going to come against you, but just remember, death doesn't have power over you. Loss doesn't have power over you. Fear of tomorrow doesn't have power over you. Why? They all are contending to occupy the place in your life and to oppose the message of hope and goodness that God gives us, and we can fight against that because of what Jesus did for us at Calvary. Amen?
Amen.
And we can trust Him with all these things that He makes promises for. So we can lean in on Jesus and trust Him with everything in our life. None of us, this time last Sunday, would have ever thought that we would have gathered together and be here together like we are. We didn't see that. We didn't see that coming. Well, I want to tell you who saw it coming and who is not shaken by it, who has answers for us today, and who has made an answer for us, not just for today, but for every day that we live from here on out. Amen?
Amen?
I'm willing to say that both Martin and Joanne and your family, us together, when we all woke up on Friday morning, had no idea that would be the last day that Joanne would be on this earth with us. The last day. Had no idea. Most of us have no idea with the fact of what day we are actually going to meet the Lord face to face. Landon, we just don't know that. But we have to be ready when that day comes.
Amen.
We have to be ready for that. And to be ready for that, that means Jesus has got to occupy my life. He has to sit on the throne of everything that I am and all that I am. That He has answers and solutions for me in everyday life. Because He interrupted me and put me on a whole other course of living. So I didn't have to live for myself anymore, even though I contend for that spot. How many of y'all's flesh still contend to want to do what you want to do? Go where you want to go. Be what you want to be. But Jesus said if we're going to follow Him, we must what? Deny ourselves. Take up the cross. That is the mission He's given us. The assignment He's given us. And what? Follow after Him. Amen?
Amen.
I carry things in my pocket to help me at times testify to the things that Jesus has done for me in my personal life. I had no idea. I was very similar like Daniel and these boys that were carried off captive. I didn't know that God was at work doing a work in my life. I wasn't raised in the family of God. I wasn't raised in the church. I had no church affiliations, no church connection whatsoever, with the exception from time to time, some people in our neighborhood and around us would pick me and my brothers up and carry us off to things like vacation Bible school. How many of y'all remember going to vacation Bible school? How many of y'all like going to vacation Bible school? I did not like going to vacation Bible school. If anything had school in it, I didn't like going, Mr. Buddy. That's all I knew. It was like school. And when I got there, Miss Johnetta, you remember this, Scott? Me and Scott ain't too far off from each other. He's still a young buck. He's coming up on it now. But you remember coming to Vacation Bible School here? Did they used to put pictures and things like that up on the wall? Did they feed you Kool-Aid and crackers and all that? They had all them pictures scared me. I thought they were creepy. Because it was a foreign world for me. Just like Daniel and them went into a foreign world in Babylon. It was creepy. They didn't know where they were going, what was going to happen. I was very similar. And they would come around with their Kool-Aid and their crackers, and I didn't like their Kool-Aid and I didn't like their crackers. You know why? I didn't want to be there. I would rather be at home barefooted, no shirt on, running like a yard dog outside than being in some confined class in Sunday school. I mean, Vacation Bible School. I really did. I didn't want to go. But I went because Mom and Daddy said I had to go. But God did a work in my life and changed me, transformed me, interrupted me, invaded me with His grace. And I want to tell you, Sunday school classes and vacation Bible schools and gatherings like this, things that I didn't want nothing to do with, all of a sudden God put a love in my heart for God's people. God put a love in my heart for the message of His Word. And I was one of them fools that just believed Jesus when He said it. He meant it, and I trusted Him in it, and said, I want to be a fool for Jesus. I lived long enough for a fool for myself. I'm going to live as a fool for Jesus. And then God began to teach me about the fact that I come into this world with nothing and I'm going to leave this world empty with nothing. How many of y'all came in here with a bank full of money? You did? Carolyn said she came in this world with a bank full of money. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, doesn't it? We enter this world naked, we're going to what? Leave all that money, but it's got hid away somewhere. They're going to spend it for you, huh? No! Oh, there ain't none there. We're not taking it with us, right? We're not taking it with us. You know, Ecclesiastes says this, that it's a terrible thing for a person to enter into this world the same way they leave it. It's a terrible thing. What does that mean? It means this, that every one of us, though we enter this world naked, we leave it naked, we enter this world fallen. We enter this world corrupt with a sin nature. That life was all about us. All about us. You ever been around a little baby? Does that baby make everything about them? If their bellies are not what? Full. If their bottom's not clean or they don't get enough sleep, what do? They what? They whine. They cry because that's the only way they can communicate. It's the only way. They let you know something's not right with me. So we what? We feed them. We clean them. We bathe them. We bed them. And then they seem to be okay for a little bit. They get a little older. And we start giving them things like pacifiers to calm them down. And they get that pacifier and they'll suck on that pacifier. And we pacify them a little bit till they get too hungry and they need to be fed or they need some sleep time. But when they get a little bit older, we start getting them baby dolls or tricycles. And they get a little bit older, we get them bicycles. And then we get them four-wheelers. And these days, they get brand new trucks and guns and all these things. You know what all those things are? They just big, expensive. What are they? They just big, expensive pacifier. Before you know it, they got one girlfriend, then they need a boyfriend, and then they got another boyfriend and another girlfriend, and then they start going through, and the older they get, they start trading in wives and husbands. Why? Because they can't never find satisfactions or contentment in this old world. Our pacifiers in this life just get what? More expensive. Until a man is interrupted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And when that man interrupted by Jesus Christ, you know what happens? He becomes our satisfier. He becomes our life. And we trade in that self-centered living to what? Live for Him in this world. Daniel, Shadrach, and Abednego, all these boys, when they entered in, look, God had to do a work in them just like He's got to do a work in you and me. And until He does that work and invades us with His grace, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to keep going through this life, just like we entered into this life, making this life all about who?
Us.
But when Jesus does something in us and starts doing things with us, and His purpose is to do things through us, life begins to shift, and it's no longer about me, myself, and I start purposing in my heart that I'm not going to let the contenders in this world occupy the place that only Jesus deserves in my life. Will it be a fight?
Yeah.
How many of y'all's flesh battles against the things of God? Oh, yeah. But you know what? As I yield to the Lord, trust Him in faith, let Him lead me by faith, filled with His Spirit, walking in His Spirit. You know what? I don't have to complete or finish what the flesh wants to start in me. I can yield over to Jesus and just keep walking with Him. Amen?
Amen.
I wouldn't, when I was 18 years old, 15 years old, I would have never foreseen that I would be where I'm at today, standing before y'all, sharing with you out of Jeremiah and Daniel and what Jesus has done in my life. But I'm so glad He took me out of a foreign land and put me into His kingdom to live for His glory.
Amen.
In these days. Amen.
Amen.
I encourage you, I want to ask you, have you ever been interrupted by Him? Have you ever been invaded by His grace where life is just not all about you anymore? But you live for the glory of God. Today can be the day, if you've never given your life to Jesus and entrusting yourself to Him, I want to tell you, today's the day you need to give your life to Him. Because look, we woke up Friday not knowing that Joanne wouldn't be with us. You don't know if you got the rest of this day or tomorrow. And that's not even necessarily why we give our life to Jesus. We give our life to Jesus because He is worthy of all of us. He's worthy of everything we've got. And the only way to have peace with God in this life is through Him.
Amen.
It's through Him. And I want to tell you, there is forgiveness for our sins through His blood that we sang about today. There is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. And I need to be forgiven of my life to be right with the Holy God. And there's only one solution God's given for that. And His name is Jesus. And the life He lived and the blood that He shed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I encourage you, call out on His name today. We're going to sing here in a moment. Brother Gray is going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. This altar will be open if anybody needs to pray. There's other people up here, myself, Brother Scott, different ones that will help you if you need help of talking more about what Jesus has done for us and what He can and will do in your life when you entrust yourself to Him. To Him. Would you stand with us today? Father, we pause again and ask You at this moment to do a work in me and everybody that is here today. That we don't want anything in our life that stands against and wants to replace Your rightful authority over us. Your Word teaches us when You rescue a person, You bring them out of the kingdom of darkness and You put them into the kingdom of the love of Your Son. You rescue us from Your wrath and You rescue us from the present world system that doesn't factor You into everyday life. And what You have promised and what You've done is ours when we trust You and put faith in You. So I'm asking You to help those that are with us that haven't trusted You with their life today. And I'm asking You to reinforce these things in each of our lives to Your glory. So we thank You and we praise You for Your kindness and goodness over us. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Look, if any of you here want to talk with me on the side or anything like that, I'm here. I want to be able to help in any way I can. So if the Spirit prompts you to get with me or one of these other folks around here, you just let God lead you. Amen? And He will bless. But look, we would love for each of you to be able to stay and hang out with us. We wanted to fellowship with you in honor of Joanne and Martin and y'all's family. We see that we've got family spread out all through here, friends through here that mean a lot to Martin and his family as well as all of us. So we'd love for you to stay and break some bread with us. Our ladies are back there right now. They're gonna serve you. They are getting set up for that. We're going to go ahead and bless the time around the table and the food. And then we'll just make our way to the back and y'all enjoy yourself. Take your time, sit around the table and fellowship with one another. There's tables in some of the rooms if you need to go in there for anything. And we'll just help accommodate you in any way we can. Restrooms are all the way in the back far corner on the left of the fellowship hall when you're in there. Any questions? Anybody? All right. Well, let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Thank you for our family. Thank you for the family of God. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for each that are here today and what each means to one another, to us. We thank you for this food that has been brought. We thank you for the provision of it. We ask you to keep it from being a hindrance or a hurt to anyone in any way today, and that it would be a nourishment to our bodies and a great time of fellowship around the table. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for your gift of life. We thank you for the memories that we'll each have with our sister. And we just pray now that you be with us as we love on one another. In Jesus' name, amen.